Our Father, we thank Thee that Thy grace hath appeared for the salvation of all men, and that Thou hast deigned to give to us the vision of the knowledge of Thy glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Help us to walk as those whom this vision possesseth. Quicken the springs of our compassion for all those who experience tragedy, and especially for those to whom winter brings dread suffering. We thank Thee for him who speaks as Thy messenger to us today, and for all those who with him stand on far frontiers as ambassadors of our Christ. May the dedication which has taken him far from home to a distant and strange place be the same dedication with which we serve where Thou hast placed us. And may the submission to Thy kingly sovereignty, which laid his life open to the missionary call, be the same kind of obedience by which we seek to be sent wherever and to whatever task Thou wilt send us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. It is always a privilege for us, year after year, to have missionaries on our campus who are spending their furlough with us. And it is always a blessing to us to have them share with us out of their own rich Christian experience in our chapel services. We have this morning the privilege of hearing Mr. Earl Martin, who is a missionary to East Africa and who is spending his furlough on our campus and is studying for the Master of Theology degree with us. It is with a sense of real privilege that I introduce him to you as our speaker for the morning, Mr. Martin.
The conversation was indeed a momentous one. Seated in a semicircle in a large but unpretentious office were four Baptist missionaries. Seated before them behind a desk was a large, rotund, sedate-looking gentleman. His name was Sir Edward Twining, governor of Tanganyika. The missionaries were currently involved in the establishing of a new mission in a new area for Southern Baptists. Governor Twining commented, "I would like to say to you gentlemen, I certainly hope that you are of that variety of missionaries which I call authentic, and that you are not counterfeit. For if you are authentic, then I think I can say to you that you are welcome in Tanganyika, and you will find a welcome among Africans wherever you go. But if you are counterfeit, then you are unwelcome." That would bring a jolt to any missionary. It would bring him up short, because such a penetrating insight lays bare all our motives and our purposes. Because as I consider the authenticity of my call or of my position as a missionary, I must understand that my authenticity as a missionary depends fundamentally upon the validity of my call as a missionary. Currently, there is a discussion going around in missionary theorist circles on the modern missionary. What is a missionary call? What is the role of the missionary? These are the two aspects which are being tossed to and fro in the discussion. Today, I would like to share with you merely some personal convictions which I have found concerning the call of a missionary. The question seems to be, is the missionary in his call unique? Is there a unique missionary call? Now, if you examine the scarce literature that is available on this subject, you will find that in all of the literature, there are more questions raised than there are answers offered. Does the missionary call differ from the call of the man of God who stands in the pulpit in some church in America to minister among his congregation? There are certain respects in which we can consider that the call of the missionary is identical or on a parallel with the call of the man of God or the woman of God serving Christ to the utmost of his or her ability here in our homeland of America. Our call must originate in the initial experience that we have or have had with God in conversion. Our obedience rests in the fact that Christ is our Lord. I cannot find it within me to say that I, as a missionary, or any of my friends who are missionaries, are any whit more obedient to Jesus Christ than any individual who is following faithfully the calling God has given to him. Certainly not. The message is the same. The duration of our call is the same. Some have suggested the difference is in the fact that the missionary goes with every intention of staying all his life. Well, my view of the call to preach is that God has called us to a lifetime of devotion to this proclamation. The power that we receive from God through the Holy Spirit is the same. Wherein there is there a difference? Some have suggested that it is the crossing of geographical boundaries. But I have friends in the military service who cross geographical boundaries and live in different environments and different cultures who are faithful witnesses for Jesus Christ in these areas. If there is any difference, perhaps it is in some concept of the task of a missionary. There may be some difference. The task of the missionary, how can you define it? Any definition that could be offered will fall short. Any definition of the task of a minister will fall short. Taking the witness concerning Jesus Christ to places or conditions which are inaccessible to a valid gospel witness, this may be it. Going with the gospel of Jesus Christ to those areas not having had a valid gospel witness. This may be missionary outreach and may be a part of the definition of the task of a missionary. But please don't misunderstand me. If there is any difference in the task of a missionary, regardless of what that definition may be, we are certainly never justified in suggesting that such a difference in task represents a difference in dedication. I would like to, if possible, try to destroy what is common in Protestant life in America and other countries, perhaps, and is certainly quite prevalent in Southern Baptist life. And that is what I choose to call the pedestal heresy. We have no right under God to put the missionary on a pedestal in our churches. We have been guilty of building up a fallacy. Someone has suggested it something like this. This is the way the fallacy runs. To be a Christian carpenter is good. To be a Christian minister is holy. To be a Christian missionary is holier than thou. This missionary image is false and unscriptural. I suppose almost every missionary on furlough faces the experience at least once, if not more than once. When he has been graciously invited to come to speak in a church, and as he sits in his chair on the platform, he is called forth by the minister who is introducing him, and he may put his arm around him as he stands in front of the people and say, "Now, folks, I want you to see a real live missionary." Well, I must say, I'd rather be called a real live missionary than a real dead missionary. But we must reject this double standard of our calling. Is the missionary calling a higher calling? I doubt if it's a higher calling in degree. There is no gradation of callings. There is no such thing as what Webster refers to as a supposed hierarchy of vocations. God must grow weary with our petty human distinctions. We all stand on the same footing. The Africans have a Swahili proverb which they often like to quote. Interpreted, it means, "He who gave you a throne to sit on is the one who gave me a coconut husk to sit on." And what it means is, don't despise me. I occupy the station in life which God gave to me, just as you do. We stand on an equal footing before God if we are the children of God. What is the uniqueness, if any, to the missionary call? It is true that every Christian has an inevitable stake in missions. And any understanding of Christianity which is void of this concept of missions is woefully deficient. Every Christian, every individual who has come to Christ at his bidding and is a new creation in Christ has a stake in missions. And so the question remaining is, where is my place? Any understanding of the call to missions, I think, must somehow be reconciled with the numerous indications in God's Word, and I only have time to mention one. In Acts, the 13th chapter, the first three verses, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." The call to serve God in any capacity comes from God, not from any mission board, not from any minister, but it comes from God. It must come from God. And so we have here God in the Holy Spirit giving direction to this congregation at Antioch. Separate or set apart these two. And then it was confirmed by the church. The church somehow was in a position to understand this call as well as the individuals involved and was able to confirm it in the prayer life of the church. And then it was personal, because God singled out, somehow in his great mercy, Barnabas and Saul. It was definite. The missionary call, or any call to serve Christ in a particular capacity, defies analysis. It is indefinable, but it is definite. Herein is the uniqueness of a missionary's call. In the first place, we would say it is probably wrong to class all missionaries together, because not all missionaries are the same. Neither are all Christians the same. But herein is the uniqueness. God confronts the individual and gives direction through the Holy Spirit to that individual life, and that individual must faithfully obey and follow. Here is the uniqueness. There is something unique about the call of every Christian. No two ministers are the same. No two ministers of education are the same. We are just as unique as our fingerprints in the spiritual realm. And so the question as to whether or not the missionary call is unique is really academic. The burning question is this: where do you and where do I stand in the plan of God for the reconciliation of the world? This is the real issue that we must come to grips with. The vital sense of commitment which many missionaries have found is absolutely essential to effective missionary work. But the same can be said of a minister. Somehow or other, it comes into a little sharper focus, though, I must confess, how important it is to have a strong awareness. And yet, I doubt if we can ever say with absolute certainty exactly where we stand before God. It is crucial. There are times when the missionary may confront certain circumstances, when he realizes the almost impossible barrier of reaching through to the people to really demonstrate and get through to them with his love. There have been times when I have stood up straight to say, what in the world am I doing here? When we realize the frustration of trying to get through that barrier of really loving the people. And yet it's inescapable. There is a Hemingwayan expression in one of his books, The Moment of Truth, when the matador faces the bull. There is a certain respect in which Christians, ministers, and missionaries face their moments of truth. I read in the report of our executive committee from our Baptist Mission of East Africa, received it just last week, and I read this was the concluding report of Jack Hull, missionary in Nyeri, Kenya, right in the heart of the Kikuyu tribe, out of which came Mau Mau 8 years ago. And there have been reoccurrences of this recently. This is what he says succinctly in his report to the executive committee. We have been bodily threatened, but by the grace of God, it has turned out to the furtherance of the gospel. The hindrances of governmental officers are slowly being overcome, and we have great anticipation for the future, regardless of budgetary problems. There you have it. Bodily threats, the hindrances of governmental offices, and budgetary problems. Nevertheless, he says, we have great anticipation of the future of our work. The missionary call, in this sense, is crucial. And it's urgent. Any understanding of the missionary call or of the call to the ministry must be somehow discovered, among other things, in an examination of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul says, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The love of Christ constraineth me, says Paul. Is the missionary call unique? I don't know how to answer that question. I know that we all stand on level ground. And after all, the question is at best only academic. The real issue is this: where do you stand with reference to a world that stands in desperate need of Jesus Christ? How do you relate yourself through the guidance of God and His Holy Spirit to such a world? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let us pray. O God, our Father, give us the grace to realize Thy will for us this day and each succeeding day, and grant by the power of Thy Holy Spirit we may faithfully obey. In Jesus' name, amen.